from the planet of Earth.
You can make decent money without going to Egypt.
Right. We're continuing. I don't think it's our job to judge him. I'm just saying, but the perspective is what struck her, that he doesn't have perspective on what a Jewish holiday is supposed to look like in a Jewish home, and she was right. To my mind, that's part of what he would benefit from marrying her. So I'm saying the benefits cannot be underrated. There are benefits at every step of the way, but there are also challenges. Because a Chozer B'Tshuva has ups and downs. And a Chozer B'Tshuva has a spiritual world that has evolved greatly. And he has sensitivities that a person from a different world doesn't even understand. The Talmud keeps warning us, you don't understand. You have to be very, very sensitive what you say around someone who's Chozer B'Tshuva, what you say around someone who's a Ger. And the fluctuations are something which are part of Chozer B'Tshuva's life. Now, fluctuations up to a point, obviously, but there are fluctuations. And when a person is themselves a Chozeret B'Tshuva, then we speak the same language. We understand one another. Very often, a girl, I get these calls all the time, or these emails, how come my chassan doesn't go to Minyan Sheva Brachos? How come my husband doesn't get out of bed to go to Minyan every morning? He's working very hard keeping Taryag Mitzvah, so he's putting on tefillin every day, and he should be going to Minyan, but you're not going to get him there by adding pressure. Leat, we're all growing. It's interesting that I get these questions. I haven't kept the record, but I think they're usually when it's a Chozer B'Tshuva and from birth. She's from birth, there it's a given. My dad got up and went to Minyan every morning. He's Chozer B'Tshuva. It's not such a given. So, I think there are also benefits to Chozer B'Tshuva and Chozeret B'Tshuva. Some guys, I tell them, I think for you, it's very important you should have one or the other, or you could go with either one. You don't have to accept my opinion. I would definitely say you guys should be open to both. I think you should be open to both, but different people I have different preferences for based on their personalities. But who am I? You know, you have to think for yourself. There are huge benefits to both sides. The idea that you understand one another, that you're both contending with things together, it's different. For a Chozer B'Tshuva, when he walks into shul, and there's a Chilul Hashem that happens, so there's a huge Yetzer Hara to throw away the Yarmulke. There's a huge Yetzer Hara to say, this is what it's all about, I'm disgusted. And someone who didn't do the Tshuva process doesn't even have that Yetzer Hara. They don't even understand what you're talking about. But the Chozer B'Tshuva, there's always that underlying feeling of, I don't need to put up with this. So you tell him, yes, you do, it's the truth. And he'll also say, yes, I do, it's the truth. But then there's a moment when one guy went to shul. He didn't know that the person who was sitting in the front of the shul wasn't really the rabbi. A group of people, they had no one to call rabbi. So they told him, you be rabbi. He said, but I never learned rabbinics. They said, fine, but you know how to read Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? We don't. You're the rabbi. Fine, he's the rabbi. Guy walks in, and this rabbi treats him very not nicely. And then he walks out devastated. Is this what Torah says? No. That guy didn't know. In that shul, they give him title rabbi. In another shul, he wouldn't be a gabbai. We had it in Holland. We had one of our alumni went to a shul there. They wouldn't give him an aliyah because he's a ger. They drive to shul on Shabbos. He's the only one who's shomer Shabbos. They all drive to shul on Shabbos, but he can't get an aliyah because he's a ger. So it's a tremendous yetzer hara to walk away and say, this is ridiculous, I don't want to have anything to do with this. So the challenges of a Chozer B'Tshuva are different than someone who's from birth, on a totally different level. And when you marry someone who shares the perspective with you, you have a certain common ground and a certain chemistry on a level which is different. So can you have a tremendous and fantastic marriage with someone who's from birth? Yes. But you have to realize each side has its advantages and each side has its costs. Meaning if your wife doesn't understand your fluctuations and your emotions, that's a difficulty. On the other hand, if you don't have where to turn to and you're both floundering and you don't know what your house is supposed to look like, that's a difficulty. You walk into a home and you see the Shabbos candles are all scented candles. So you have a fantastic fragrance at the Shabbos table, but no one else does this, so the kids end up weird. The father says, I'd rather make my Havdalah on beer. And fine, Chamra de Medina, Chamra Medina, he can tell me everything he wants, but that's not what people do. Yeah, but I give me all the, but by the book I'm okay. Right, okay, by the book you're okay. But what are your kids going to walk away with? Weirdos. They're not going to be good, you know. So there are huge benefits to marrying someone who's from birth. They give you perspective. If you're trying to learn it from the book, there are a lot of things you won't see in the book. So that's point number one. But when you're dating someone who's Chozer B'tshuva, and we ourselves are Chozer B'tshuva, so then we have to ask ourselves, okay, so what's the range of fluctuation that makes sense? And I got a shayla last week. A guy comes to me and says he has a family affair and his cousins are going to show up. His cousins are not religious. They're going to be dressed in something that's far less than immodest. Immodest would be an understatement. And they're all going to hug him and kiss him. Is he allowed to do it? So I asked him, what question are you asking me? Is it permissible? I can't tell you it's permissible. It's obviously not permissible. Are you saying to me, I'm a chozer b'tshuva, and I'm in the process of doing tshuva, and this is something I'm not yet holding by doing? That's a different question. If you come to me and say, I finished my tshuva process, which has been the position he's been maintaining with me for the whole year. Not from here. He's not a student here. So all year he told me he's, that's it. He's finished his tshuva process, so to speak. So I said, if you're coming and asking me, is this permissible or prohibited? I can't tell you it's permissible. If you're coming and asking me, well, in my tshuva process where I'm not holding by doing this. This isn't for me yet. Okay, fine, tshuva process is a process. We grow gradually. We don't expect the person to go from not keeping anything to keeping everything in one day. But by the same token, part of that happens also during the dating process. Meaning a girl that tells you, you know, this is something I've been thinking about all the time and I haven't come to terms with. I know I should cover my hair. I'm not yet fully comfortable with it. I'm not sure you should turn down that girl. What's she saying? She's saying, I'm a work in progress, and this is a point that I haven't yet come to terms with. So, that deserves discussion. We have to understand the full picture. Is it that she has a million things in kashrus and Shabbos and other things that she hasn't come to terms with? Or is this just like my wife would say, this is a hard point. This is like a guy putting on pink pants. We have to understand where she's holding. Is she working with the teacher? Is she working with the system? Has she been consistent? And that's where what you said obviously is true, that you're marrying the person as is. But we also have to understand that we're a work in progress and they're a work in progress. And there has to be that room for growth and understanding. You guys with me? Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay, but this is where it gets really challenging. This is where the dating of Chozrim B'Tshuva has a whole different level of challenges that other people don't. And this is where I strongly encourage you to take your time dating. Understand one another. You're not running into things. There's no rush. And I be careful. I have this rule about advice. At the end of the day, you're the only one who lives with this person. Everyone who gave you advice walks away, goes into their own home, closes the door, and has their own family life. You're the one that's going to deal with the result of that advice. So all advice has its weight, but at the end of the day you have to think it through and see if it makes sense for you. And sometimes the answer is, let's take more time. Like Yaakov says, people don't change so fast. So we also have to discern between personalities and observance. Those are two different things. And we also have to discern between observance of a specific mitzvah and a general belief system. And that's why I wrote in the questionnaire I gave you last week, how do you make decisions? If a person has a teacher and they work out together and they say, okay, like this guy, you're not yet holding by keeping this mitzvah. Stay there, you'll get there, it'll take you another few years, there's no rush, it's part of a growth process. Fine, I have no problem with that. You never know if a person will continue growing. You are marrying them as is, as Yaakov said, meaning, but at the same time, it's understandable. You have to decide what range makes sense to you. And that, I don't think there's a right or wrong in that. People sometimes say, I'm very open. Fine. But you're not open to your wife serving you non-kosher food just because they didn't have any meat in the kosher section of the A&P. You know, very open has its limitations. And you need someone that shares with you the at least the seriousness that you give to halacha, whatever that is. No one's telling you what it is, but whatever it is, you have to be on the same page. So far, so good. Okay. We have another 7 minutes. Let's try to do one more thing. Breaking up with a girl. Did we discuss this? No. Okay. We did. I think we did. About complimenting, not giving blame, not taking blame, just we don't match. So we did discuss. Okay. Third, fifth dates. My recommendation is that you stop and you evaluate. Where are things holding? Sometimes you have a situation where by the third date, one of the sides is ready to get married, and the other side is wondering whether to break up. They're on totally different planes. You have to stop and talk. Now, when you stop and talk, you talk first. And when you talk first, you give a lot of compliments. Doesn't matter where you think things are holding. You're discussing where it's holding. You're not discussing what she is. The only time you're discussing what she is when you're complimenting her. You know, I benefited a lot from the insights you mentioned on the previous dates, and I really enjoy our dating. And you give her 2-3 minutes worth of real compliments, and you put down where you feel it's holding. You could say, you know, I think this is going very nicely. Don't say, I think we're going to marry one another. You shouldn't think that on the third or fifth date. You could say, you know, things I think are going great, and let's see where this leads. Be careful. Don't mislead a girl. If you don't think it's going great, you could give a lot of compliments, and you have to indicate. You have to say, look, I'm not really sure where it's headed. I had a girl who was ready to get married on the third date, and I was ready to break up. And I said to her, I said, look, I'm very, very impressed. And I said a lot of compliments. And then I said, look, but I'm really not convinced. I'm interested in dating again. But that's about where I'm holding, where I'm not sure if it makes sense to date or not. I think it's I'm not 100% convinced that we're not compatible, so I'm interested in continuing. But we're in different places. I don't want you to get hurt. So we have to watch both ourselves and the other party. We don't want to get hurt. We don't want to hurt the other person. And we have to think of nice ways of saying it, but we do have to say it. We do have to call a spade and be a man. Let her know where things are holding. Third date, fifth date, that's my recommendation. And afterwards, every few dates, you have to know. And you also have to protect yourself. Meaning guys sometimes get so hurt that they have a hard time getting up and dating again. But you should have known where things were holding. And you always know until you're engaged that you don't know if it's going to get there. So even if you've dated 20 times and everything seemed great, you don't know. So far, so good. And try to understand where both of you are holding. So that's on the third and fifth date. I recommend you allude to her in advance that this is what's going to happen. Tell her on the second date or on the conversation when you're setting up the third date that if it's okay with her, you would like to discuss on the next date where things are holding. I recommend doing it face to face. You want to see whether she means it when she says certain things. On the phone, it's very easy to fake emotion. And it's only fair to tell her in advance that this is what's coming because she might want to get her thoughts together about where things are holding. So I don't think it's fair to pop it as a surprise. How often should you date? I think you should date about twice a week. Sometimes you end up thinking about the dating all the time and then you don't have a life. And if you don't have a life, then you can't date because you get all confused. You lose all perspective. I recommend walking out and telling yourself, okay, I'm going to take 2 minutes to think about this. And after that, I'm going back to life. And then after 2 minutes, you go back to life, even if it takes 5 minutes. But then go back to your learning, go back to your studies, do what you have to do. You can't spend your whole life thinking about it. We have to date out of equilibrium. We have to date out of normalcy, out of life. And if we end up having a situation where I dated her Sunday night till 2 in the morning, Monday I slept till 4, then I got up and I called her and we spoke till 6. I got in a little bit of work and then we went to sleep Tuesday morning. We were dating already. We dated Tuesday. I got a little bit of work Tuesday night. Wednesday morning we spoke on the phone. Wednesday evening I got a little bit of work. Thursday we were dating again. You don't have a life. And what happens is you start feeling like everything you're discussing on the date is all theoretical. Yeah, I have a job. I visited it twice this week, right? You don't feel like you're yourself. So it's important on the one hand to have a relative frequency of dating. In the beginning, my recommendation is twice a week. and later on to evolve to three times a week and then maybe more. But let it evolve and try to date out of norms, out of living life. And the dating should be a part of the life. And slowly you pick up the frequency as it gets more serious. Then you could date every other day, but you head towards there. Any questions? No? Okay. So we'll pick up here with Hashem next week. Tomorrow night.